Almighty God, we thank you for this morning that we can come and hear your word. And in particular, Lord, we just want to pray for our church family here. I want to pray, Father, that you yourself will sanctify all of us. Just keep us healthy and strong. Keep our spirits, keep our souls, and keep our bodies sound and blameless, Lord, as we wait for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the second time. Father, I pray this morning that you minister to me and to my brothers and sisters here in Christ. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to share a few thoughts from Paul's book to the Corinthians, and in particular I'm looking at 1 Corinthians. I'm going to look at chapter 3, verses 5 to 15. And I don't know, but you know, it is very well accepted that Paul wrote four letters to the Corinthians. In our present day Bible, we have only two books. But that's because it is believed that only those two books are canonical. Those are the canons, which means that these are the books that are listed in the sacred writings and are considered to be genuine. So you have First and Second Corinthians in your Bible. And Paul talked to the Corinthian church about so many different things. He wrote to them about marriage. He wrote to them about relationships. He wrote to them about forms of worship. He wrote to them about communion. He even wrote to them about the second coming of Christ. And one of the things that he also wrote to them about is how you respond to your teachers and your preachers. And this particular church, as we can see, has some issues. And we're going to look at some of those issues this morning. So let's look at the first section of this passage. He said, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So Paul presents this message to the Corinthian church. And the issue here was what I would call spiritual immaturity. There was jealousy and strife among the members in the church. And unfortunately, or sadly, they were divided along the lines of loyalty to a particular teacher or a particular preacher. You know, Paul himself will later on, earlier on, will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, that he was not a great orator. Like Apollos. Apollos was a very eloquent orator, and people naturally gravitated towards him because in the ancient Greeks, that was a big deal. But Paul said, I'm not a great orator, and it is not very important because the essence is really the content of the gospel rather than how flowery the gospel is delivered. So Paul was making that point, and consequently, he charged them that you are immature. You are immature if you are selecting when to go to church and where to go to church, because there's a great speaker and speaker only. You know, in our modern days, I've introduced a lot of people at the university, and when we bring in a very great researcher or a professor from somewhere, we talk about the size of their research grants, the number of papers that they publish, and Josh will know the number of research papers they've published and how much research grant they hold. And that's okay, that is in the academia, that is the arena, right? But sometimes we do the same thing in the church. When we invite somebody to come and speak, we spend a lot of time describing the size of their church, the number of people in the church, the budget, how much money the church has. We sometimes forget to talk about the life of the person and the values of the person and all that. And this is what is happening here in the Church of Corinth. They are talking about who is the greatest speaker, and that is the type of person I want to hear, I want to listen to. And Paul comes in and said, even he includes himself, is what is Apollos and what is Paul? Now, this is a very important point, because in the church today, we face some challenges. And some of the issues the church is dealing with is, you know, congregation or people in the congregation rallying around personality cults. This is especially so in Africa and some places in South America. It's a big, big issue. This has led to this whole issue of prosperity gospel, mega churches, and people are chasing speakers that they want to see. And you hear here, Paul talks about this very thing. Let's go to the next slide. So Paul said himself that he was not a great speaker, and he said, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God in lofty words or wisdom. Can you imagine Apostle Paul saying, you know what, I'm not even a great speaker. Paul, of all people, said, I'm not a great speaker, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I'm sorry to say, but sometimes that's how we choose where to go and worship and whom to listen to. People who can deliver the gospel in lofty words of wisdom, right? And Paul is saying that is not the right thing to do. You rather have to seek spiritual maturity. Churches in Ghana, and where I'm going to share more about Ghana shortly, but churches in Ghana, in many parts of the world, unfortunately, there's a gravitation towards those type of speakers. And sometimes they have betrayed the trust that the people have given them. And this happened, Paul was talking about this several years ago. So he concluded that the Corinthians were not spiritual, but as carnal. And sometimes when we think that, when we use the word carnal, we're thinking about some other forms of immorality, but just making these type of choices based on humanism, on human thinking. Paul describes that as carnal. Next. So the other thought in this particular passage that I read, that we read, is that Paul refers to the Corinthians as laborers with God, co-workers with God. And in fact, that's all we are. That's all we are. Jesus said, he said, my Father is working. And what? And I'm also working. See, Jesus said, God, my Father, is working, and I am also working. That's all we are doing here. Our God is working, and we are his what? Co-workers. And therefore, that leads us to humility. I'm going to talk about humility as well. But the church represents a field of workers who are cooperating with God to reap a harvest and not to quarrel with each other. You see, churches are a lot like buildings. I am a civil engineer, so I know about a building, and I know about buildings. And Paul, in this passage, said something that I really find it exciting. He said, there's only one foundation. When it's all said and done, there's only one foundation. And what is that foundation? The foundation is Jesus. And what are we doing? We are, all of us, whether you are teaching downstairs in Kids Connection, or whether you are standing here preaching every week, or whether you are leading worship, all we are doing is doing what? Building on that foundation. That's what we are doing. And Paul says, watch out how you build on that foundation. Because there's no other foundation that is important. And he himself, offers himself as an example. And I like that. He said, as just like a skilled master builder. Like a skilled master builder, I am very, very, very careful on how I build on that foundation. And you better also be careful about how you build on that foundation. So, even though Paul argues that it doesn't really matter whether you plant and somebody else waters, at the end of the day, both of you are equal. And that is a great encouragement to all of us, that it doesn't matter what you do in the church. You see, at the end of the day, we are co-workers with God. And we are only servants, and servants only. And we have to be very careful how we do our work. I think this co-workers with God, for me, I think about it as ministry, any kind of ministry. And our ministry is to work with God and to share the gospel. So when you take a building, we talk about sometimes you have a gated community, and even though the foundation in that community of the buildings may be the same, different styles and the way the building is finished, can be very different, but the foundation is the same. So I want you to think about that if you look at a community, a gated community, or series of rows of buildings, the primary foundation is the same. The soil is the same. The investigation that was done because of the same soil, one investigation was done. But the design of the building, the roof and the living room and all that, is laid out differently. That's what we are. We as a building, we have one foundation. That foundation is Christ. The way we work, the way we talk, our gifts, and the resources that God has given us may be different. But our goal is to build on that same foundation. So, Paul talks about this issue of people in the church rallying themselves around personality cults. And he talks about, he said, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings. And I'm afraid that I can tell you that it is already happening in the world. And this is something Paul predicted so many, many, many years ago, and it's happening in the world, where so many people, so-called leaders, have been exposed, and the foundation has been found to be very shaky, because the foundation is not what? It's not Christ. So this idea of fellow workers with God translates itself best into ministry. And the word minister is also Latin for minister, which means a servant. And in the Greek, it's diakonos, which source of servant. So Paul gives us some principles for ministry, and he gives us five principles. Okay, so the first principle, as we have seen from this passage that we just read, is humility. If you are a servant, then you have to be humble, because you are a servant because God has conscripted you. God has signed you up. God has appointed you to be a servant, and that comes with humility. And that's why Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything but God only. The second principle is unity. And here Paul says, he who plants and he who waters are equal. So we have to be united, because we are working on the same foundation and we are moving towards the same goal. And our primary goal is to really bring honor and glory to God, our Father. So we have to be united in the church, in our ministry, individual ministries. The third principle is the reward. This reward is great, because Paul says that, and each shall receive his wages according to his labor. Paul talks about this again in the same 1 Corinthians chapter, especially when you go to chapter 15, verse 58. He says, brethren, be steady, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. What a great reward. That is our motivation. That in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. Therefore, we have to be steady, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because in the Lord, our labor is not in vain. That is the reward. That is the motivation. And then, of course, the dignity. What a great dignity that God sees it fit to say to you that you are my co-worker. That's great dignity. That's the dignity that God calls us, that we are his co-workers, fellow workers. We are partnering with God. We are God's synergists. We are working in synergy with God to achieve the same purpose. The final part that Paul talks about, it's the awesome responsibility. The awesome responsibility. This is an awesome responsibility. And what is the responsibility? Paul says that be careful how you build on that foundation. That's an awesome responsibility. We cannot be reckless and just do God's work haphazardly. How you build is going to have a consequence. In the end, he said, if you are a Christian and you are building on the foundation, you'll be saved. He said in that passage that you'll be saved. But what's going to make the difference? The difference in is the material that you build on that foundation. Whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's precious stones, or whether it's hay, or whether it's wood. In other words, the quality of the material has consequences. And he said, in the end, all that is going to be revealed. So this is the reason why that responsibility is awesome, and we have to be very careful. So these are the principles of ministry that I think Paul wants us to remind ourselves. I'm sure we know that many of us here have been serving the Lord for many, many years. And Paul wants us to be aware. So I want to now talk about how this has translated into action for us, for myself, and for Mary. And Mary will be coming up shortly to do the highlights. It's very exciting. She's got an exciting. She's got an exciting testimony. But a few years ago, I went to my village in Ghana. And at about 4:30 in the morning, there was an announcement on the loudspeakers in the town. You know, that place, there's no noise violation, right? You can make noise all you want anytime. The police will not come and knock on your door. So they started broadcasting at dawn, and they were talking about the need of the community. Said, this community is in need. We need housing for teachers, and we need housing for students. If you have a house and you think you can rent part of your house for students or for teachers, please come forward to the town and then make that available. And I was lying down and I said, Lord, I got to do something about this announcement. So the next day, we talked to people, we mobilized people, and we got land. And we decided to build a hostel for girls. Because apparently, in Ghana, the girls, when it's the computer that selects students. The computer will tell you, you shall go to Laurier, or you shall go to U of T, or you should go to the University of Alberta. Computer tells you to go there. So when they go to a smaller town and there are no facilities, no hostel, no accommodation, they go back, and teachers as well. So the town was saying, making the appeal, please, let's create a community where people will come and do what? They will stay and work. So we decided to build a hostel. And we finished the hostel, and now you can see here, these are some of the girls living in a hostel. And we started with 70 students, and now we have a few hundreds of students at the hostel. So they come in to town, and then they have 3 years. This is a great opportunity. We've got 3 years to really connect with them, mentor them, and follow them in terms of their lives. And even when they go, after they go to university, you can still stay in touch with them. Are they keeping the faith? Are they, you know, still Christians? Are they walking with the Lord and all that? So this is wonderful. And this, the reason why this is very important to me is that, unfortunately, not all these young women get a chance to go to school, to go to secondary school, because of financial challenges. So the government has now introduced free secondary school education. So we are really partnering with the government, providing the housing, and the government is providing the free education, and so this is working very well. So now young women are no longer experiencing early pregnancy, and sometimes they don't go to school, and before you know, some of them are very young, about 19 years, and they have 3 kids. That has completely gone down, and many more young women are now in school. And this town has a population of about 20,000 people, and it's a great facility for them. And I thank the Lord that we started that. Our target is 400 students, and we are working very closely towards that. So now I'm going to invite Mary to come.